Evers, and I'm delighted to introduce to you Bernice Cousins. And she has so much really great information to give us about her organization, Actualization Organization. And good afternoon, Bernice.
Good afternoon to you, Carolyn. It's really nice to hear from you.
Indeed. So we've had a little relationship going for a while, and now it's nice to really be talking to you on air where you could share the wealth of your experience with our audience. Starting out, perhaps it would be a good idea to give a little background about you and your organization. Give us some thoughts on that.
Certainly. The first thing I'd like to do is to give you the correct name. I realize that the term actualization has been around for quite some time, and it's that is connected with Maslow's work in psychology. Our group is called Actualism. And it was founded and developed by Russell Schofield way back in time, but was finally incorporated in the late 60s, early 70s. And we had, at that time, a massive growth in our centers. The training centers are called STAR Centers, and they're located primarily now in the California area, in San Francisco and the Bay Area, Escondido, Costa Mesa, Laguna, San Diego, and in New York. I'm the co-director of the New York STAR Center with Bruce Jaffe, and he is also the webmaster for our website. Actualism, as I said, was founded and incorporated in the early 70s. And in its program, which is an individualized program but recognizes the importance of the individual and the interaction of the individual with group dynamics. So our training program basically consists of individual session work in group formation. There are some people who take private lessons because of their time schedules, but pretty much it's group work. The training program starts with the introduction, which gives the individual an opportunity to experience firsthand working with the energies that are flowing into the earth and that are part of their own personal physical dynamics and their connection as a being of light, which is the divine attribute of every individual that exists on the planet today, whether they're aware of it or not. So that's a pretty broad-based painting of what the program involves. I'd like to answer any specific questions you have, because there's a lot of detail in the training program that we can go into. Much of the introductory material is found on the website, and everyone is welcome to visit that. It's www.actualism.org. And actualism is spelled A-C-T-U-A-L-I-S-M.
Thank you, Bernice. I'd like a little feeling for yourself, how you became interested in the organization and how you personally work with these energies. I think you have a lot by way of experience that you could share in that area.
Yes. I guess one could say that I was born a searcher, for truth and how things worked, and that led me to constantly seek out that which was behind the scenes, not that which was evident. And this led me to really get involved in a course of study which was custom designed by, as I see now, my immortal nature, choosing the schools that I went to and the people that I met and came in contact with. I began the search for what was the actual or what was behind the scenes through channels which were quite unusual at the time. Back in the late 50s, early 60s, the esoteric was not something that you came across in your day-to-day activities. You really had to know somebody who knew somebody that could take you someplace to a meeting or to a lecture or something of that nature. And I had the good fortune of encountering two special people. One was Zoltan Mason, who ran what was called an occult bookstore in Manhattan. It was one of the most prolific. This was before Weiser's was well known as a publisher. And Zoltan was a Hungarian who taught astrology and metaphysics. At the same time, I came across a woman by the name of Ann Koenig, who was the director of a program called the New York Parapsychology Forum. And it was her mission to bring to people all of the teachers and the people from all over the globe who would present on a regular basis, and they would present introductory sessions in their particular area of study. And I met people who did aura readings and card readings and tarot specialists and Kabbalah specialists. It was quite an exciting period of time just exploring all of these different avenues of expression. I then joined the ARE because I was very much interested in Edgar Cayce and what he was making available as information on Atlantis and ancient Egypt. I was fascinated by Egyptology and had studied a lot of ancient cultures in art history and world history, and so it was just sort of a natural evolution of process. I became a professional astrologer under the tutelage of Zoltan Mason, and in the course of my work in that area, I also met some people who had been involved with the ARE, particularly someone who had come from North Carolina and was interested in the Lost Colony. And I kept running up against things like reincarnation, which I rejected out of hand as not being something that I wanted. At the same time, I had two children. The youngest one, who is now in his 40s, talked about what he did in his past life. And so every time I would, encounter this reincarnation, I would turn my back on it and go in another direction, and here I have a child who's talking about what he did before he came here. So it's been a very interesting journey, and eventually, through the Parapsychology Forum, I met two women who became my very good friends, and they introduced me to actualism in an interesting manner. They knew I was interested in color healing and sound healing. I had been exploring color and sound as methodology for healing. And I had been doing color healing in terms of design projects that I had been working on when I was working as a professional interior designer. So there were interlocking, intermeshing experiences that every time I went into another level, I would take with me everything that I had learned and had applied in the previous activity. So it was an ongoing, cumulative process of heading in this direction. And then finally, I had been working in conjunction with the Arcane School, which is the Alice Bailey material. And in the Alice Bailey School, they use a process which is called Raja Yoga. There are many, many forms of yoga. And in the Raja Yoga meditation process that I was involved in with them, we were directed to seek out our inner ashram, the ashram that we were connected with. And in the process of one of these meditations, I had an experience of seeing a silhouette of a person. And in the area around the heart, there became a bright spark of light that grew very, very large, and it was brilliant, and that was the only thing I could remember of this experience. Subsequently, my friend who introduced me to actualism said I had to have this introductory experience, and she invited me to her house and put these headphones on my head and said, listen to this tape. And as I sat and listened to the tape, I immediately re-experienced that connection that I had in the search for the inner ashram through the Arcane School. And here was this silhouette of this person and this just blazing white light. And what the introductory experience was the introduction to my own white star or crystal white energy. And the introductory experience takes you through a process of experiencing your connection with your own star, your own pole star, guiding star, which is this crystalline white energy that contains all of the subsequent energies that we work with.
Before you go on with that, Bernice, are you talking about your I Am presence in this?
Basically, that's what it is. That's one way of talking about it. In the early days, in the 70s, when I first started this work, we referred to it as, you know, experiencing presence. And then we refined presence into the term, the being of light that you are, that the recognition that each of us is this magnificent divine entity. And it is that divine entity that has the permanence, the total, eternal, and infinite existence in relationship with everyone else that exists, whether they're on Earth, in form, physical form, out of physical form, wherever they might be, there is this eternal and infinite connection. And Russell used the expression God children, that we were children of God. And as children of God, we were godlike in our divine nature. So it was just, it literally knocked the socks off me because this had been, I recognized it instantly as the connectivity between the Arcane School, the ARE, and everything else that I had been pursuing was all present in this one introductory experience. And so I committed to taking the lessons, and I was just sold on it, and I've been doing this for 30 years.
Set us back up a little, Bernice,
yeah.
Because I'm sure, I'm just trying to get vocabulary understood, because we all have different ideas, and I don't want people going off on another track.
Definitely.
And then the other thing that I wanted to know was this tape. What was it? What kind of tape was this that triggered this internal view, so to speak, of your I Am presence?
Well, it was an experiential session. We use the term session, although now we often refer to it as a meditation, but it's somewhat different than what I would define meditation as, because it is very specifically structured so that you learn to focus your awareness first to release external busyness that goes on in your day-to-day life, and by coming to a focused point, a quiet point, to then experience that connection with the I Am presence, or whatever else you want to call it. It is that connection with your actual self, or what we now I see that the general vocabulary now is using more and more the I Am, or the I Am that I Am, or presence. Another term for it is the being of light.
Mm-hmm.
Another term for it is the higher self. Another
right.
term is the God self. They're all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's that that which you are, truly are, not the ego personality that manifests itself, because the ego personality is made up of a lot of different identities, and any one of those identities can sort of step in and take charge, but this is the actual self.
Mm-hmm. Oh, therefore that's where the name probably comes from.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also in the process of developing the program, Russell and the original group of people that he worked with did this experiential testing on terminology and experience. They would sit together and have an experience, and then they would report on what they experienced, and then they would go back and they would capture it, so that the process that we use is a process that you can go through again and again and again with the security of not being lost or foundering, you know, that you can you come back to the point of origin always.
But this process, as I'm understanding you, really starts with this form of meditation that you're talking
That's
about.
That's right. That's right. It's a initially what there is a recognition that there are three levels of awareness that are operating all the time with us, our knowing awareness, our sensory awareness, which is how we perceive things, and then our emotional awareness.
And knowing, before you get on to that, this knowing awareness, is this memory or is this like intuition?
Well, intuition is kind of a good way to define it. It's also memory because it's that long-term memory.
Mm-hmm.
And have you ever had the experience where, you know, you're presented with something and you just know what the answer is, or you
yes.
know what the situation is?
Indeed.
It's that gestalt of totality and just knowing. I mean, mm-hmm. and there's no other way you can define it. And whether it comes, whether it's intuition or memory or extra extended perception or whatever creates it, it happens at sort of multi-level throughout the body. It generally localizes it in the brain, but basically it's that knowing. Some people call it the gut reaction.
Yes.
But I call it packets of knowledge. They just pop in, and you have this whole complete understanding. And really what it is, it's an understanding. It's an innate understanding of what is really transpiring,
mm-hmm.
or what the meaning is behind, what the actual meaning is as opposed to the apparent meaning. So there is the knowing awareness, and you can literally move into that space and collect it and gather it and lift it and stabilize it. Then there's the sensory awareness, which is our ability to perceive things, whether we do it in our visual, auditory, in any one of the five senses that we operate through, plus the extended senses that we connect to and we function in, but we generally don't acknowledge that they exist.
Bernice, we have so many things to talk about, and something that I think would be of great interest to our listeners is some of the new energies that are coming to the planet that that you and your group are experiencing.
Well, before when I was getting preparing to chat with you, I went through and just kind of did a count, and
mm-hmm.
because we have basically energy which we've talked about for eons. I mean, all of the disciplines have some energy work or some connection. Generally, they associate the energies with color. Color gives it an easy way to identify it and talk about it. And when we started this work, Russell said there were 49 ways of perceiving, or 49 energies. So far, in the actualism work, in the basic program, just the core basic beginning study, there are 22 of them that the student learns to identify, experience, and work with for healing and clearing and balancing and aligning and whatever. In recent years, I would say since 1987, we've experienced and identified and incorporated into the advanced program another six or seven of them. So you see, we still have a lot to go through. If there were 49, we've now gotten to a point where I think the count was, let me just check, 30 of them that we are now currently working with. In my experience, in the recent years, it seems like the energies are coming through on a need basis, and individuals are experiencing them and reporting them based on their particular either professional activity or their emotional state or what they need. And so we've been exploring these. Some stay, they come in for a period of time. They're vital to the planetary evolution and planetary work. And then they, you know, kind of go into abeyance and new ones come through. So there's just it's an exciting time. It's almost like a kaleidoscope of new discovery. And I think whatever experience an individual has with them, that's the important thing, that they learn to identify what they need and then go with it.
Can you give us an idea, for instance, of maybe one of these energies and perhaps some sense of the color that it might be, and if a person's working with this, what it might do for them?
Well, I think that in terms of what would be even more valuable is the awareness that what's coming through now, there is a direct connection between energy and consciousness, and energy and consciousness and awareness. And what we're experiencing now, particularly at this moment, is the resurgence of what would be identified as feminine energies, feminine consciousness, and feminine awareness. Now, this does not mean that everybody is going to suddenly turn into ladies. You know, it has nothing to do with, you know, our sexuality. It is the feminine aspect of the Creator is nurturing, compassion, caring, support. It's associated with the magnetic, so it's more attractive. It is, and by attractive, I don't mean pretty looking. I mean the magnetic attraction, drawing things to you. And in that drawing things to you, it is both the positive and the negative that you draw to you. The other aspect of it, even more important now, is the compassion, the understanding. We're seeing this level of energy, you could call them magnetic. They have more to do with being than with doing, so there's less of the frenzy. There's less of the running about into trying to achieve things. It's more quiet, stable, steady growth kind of awareness, attitude, understanding, and that's the energy that's coming through, and it may manifest itself in many, many different forms, many different color experiences, many different vibratory rates, but essentially that's what it is. And we see it most definitely in planetary interaction. For example, the work of the United Nations. We think of it in terms of its dynamic mode, which is peacekeeping, and it's shifting to its magnetic or feminine mode, which is peace building. That's one way that you can look at it. The other is you see the conflicts that we have are conflicts of ego personalities, whether it be tribal or national. It gets down to confrontations between individuals or ideologies. The feminine energy is not the either-or energy, it's the third way, the reconciliation.
Oh, and I love that word. We could use that in the Middle East.
Well, definitely, definitely. And you notice that a lot of the stuff, a lot of the posturing in the Middle East is generally between two very strong male dynamic personalities.
Yes.
Wherever it is. And you may have a male dynamic personality of one country posturing with a male dynamic from another country today, and tomorrow he's posturing with somebody else, but it's still that posturing. The diplomacy, the negotiating, the reconciliation aspect of things, the listening, These are all feminine attributes. And so you're going to begin to see more of this coming through as this feminine energy becomes more and more powerful. All of the interest in the earth and protecting the earth, what we have, conservation, environmental protection, cleanup, all that stuff, that comes under the feminine aspect.
When did you notice this starting, or you or your group start to notice that this energy was coming into the planet?
I would say personally, I think that as I look back and I, you know, when it's happening, you don't notice that it's happening. You just know that there's something's going on.
Right.
But you need to have that long perspective where you turn around and look back, and then you can see the steps that led to it. I think that the consensus generally is not just my organization, but, you know, people who are in a position to have this global perspective, that major things happened in 87, and I think that's the harmonic convergence was the heralding of this whole shift.
That's interesting.
Yeah. It seems to be. There were indications of it prior to that time,
mm-hmm.
but I think that at 87 things really took a major shift.
That's interesting. Now, have you noticed, or members of your group noticed, that there was a shifting of energies at what is being called the harmonic concordance?
Definitely. Definitely.
What did what, if anything, did you notice then?
It's sort of step one was the harmonic convergence, and step two is the concordance.
Mm-hmm.
And things have really accelerated. We see one of the things that I find very interesting is that we look at general global conditions, planetary conditions, weather. You know, we really have such a short visual record-keeping history. So we're trying to make decisions based on a very short-term experience. And again, if you go back and try to take the long-term experience, you find that, you know, it really, acceleration, is it acceleration or is it just that we are in a technological position to be on the spot with all the changes now, so therefore we are more aware of their occurrence. So I can't say personally whether I believe that things are getting worse. I just know that I'm more aware of the changes that are taking place. And I can remember, for example, flooding in the Delta areas when I was a child.
Mm-hmm.
We had to wait until pictures came through. You know, reporters went out, photographers went out, took photographs of the situation, brought them back to their newspapers. The newspapers printed them, and then we saw them.
True.
Whereas today, we are right on the spot as they're happening.
Mm-hmm.
So we have greater access and greater timeliness in the access to events that are taking place. I mean, we all sat around the morning of September 11th and saw the tremendous episode that took place, and everybody was connected to it. So there was a universal experience of a disaster, whereas with Pearl Harbor, for example, we had to wait until we got the news back from Hawaii. So there's both that acceleration of through accessibility and the fact that things are just, you know, things happen. Shift happens. Earthquakes have always happened. Volcanoes have always happened. Tsunami has happened. Hurricanes have happened. They will continue to happen. Yet, for some reason, we feel that, you know, it's being laid on us in a heavier duty situation at this point. I think it's just that we're more aware of it.
Getting back to the harmonic concordance, we've had since then the Venus crossing.
Mm-hmm.
Was that another event where you noticed some stepped up energies of?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think that had to do with that, I guess you could say, was the proclamation of the divine feminine that it was going to, you know, exert itself more intensely. That was how I perceived that,
mm-hmm.
both from the astrological perspective and the energetic perspective.
Now, from the energetic perspective, when you're working with that, have you noticed the color that was involved with that?
What I've been experiencing is they're connected with, there are three primary energies that or consciousness or rays that are available to us, and everything else comes from those three. The three are love,
mm-hmm.
wisdom, and higher will. It seems like the love energy, or the radiant pink, the pinks and reds,
mm-hmm.
are what are coming through in some form or other, and in some combination with the other,
right.
the other two.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a balance of love and will, or love and wisdom, or love, wisdom, and will, in some combination thereof. And then again, depending on the person's ability or their perceptual ability, their visual acuity, they may perceive the colors slightly different. That's one of the risky aspects of working with color only with the energies.
Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that these three attributes work in cycles? In other words, a period of time where the earth is really, I don't want to say bombarded, but maybe the energies of the love be predominant, or a period where perhaps the energies of the wisdom is predominant, and then another period where the will is predominant.
I think so. And if you go back 2,000 years or so to the advent of the avatar, which we identify as Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ, or the beginning of the Christian era, love was the message. You know, that's the essence of that whole period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one can say that the messenger brings the message, and it takes a while for the recipients to get it and understand it.
Right.
We've been working on this for 2,000 years, and I don't think we've gotten it yet.
Not the way we should, apparently.
Right. Now, today is at 2:30-something Eastern Standard Time was the Taurus full moon, which is the point that we, in esoteric terms, we celebrate the high point of the Wesak festival,
mm-hmm.
which is the festival of Buddha,
right?
Commemorating the birth, the activities, and the transition of the Buddha principle. Buddha is wisdom. So we know that wisdom never disappears. Love never disappears. Will never disappears. But they do cycle in and out. Now, the Age of Enlightenment was a point when wisdom was the key point, and we're still dealing with the residue of that, the scientific approach, the logical approach, as opposed to the emotional approach. And because of that impact of that Age of Enlightenment and the focus on wisdom, a lot of the emotional state has been put down in, or put into abeyance or totally ignored. And so what's happening now is you're getting the balance of that.
Ah, yes.
So, you know, it's sort of like the pendulum swings one way or the
right.
other. Now, interestingly enough, with the will, this planet is a planet of free will.
Mm-hmm.
And the key to the expression of free will is abundance.
I love that word.
And we are really in a position now of being challenged by the lack of abundance and abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a heightened interest in abundance in people who are looking for, searching for, and seeking spiritual growth and enlightenment. And then on the other hand, you have this terrible condition where the majority of the population on the globe don't know whether or not they're going to have food to eat the next day.
Yes, it's sad.
So there, and yet this is a planet of abundance, and it's just a matter of, you know, how to get the goods to the people that need them. It's distribution of it. And that goes back to earlier conversations you and I have had about the Romans and how the Roman road system was what was such a paramount contribution to the evolution of Western civilization. And this recently in the tsunami, part of the problems that they've encountered was they had this abundance of goods, but no way to get them there.
Right.
Similarly, in Africa, the treatment of the AIDS patients or any of the other illnesses and diseases that are rampaging through the continent, they have the medication, but they don't have the infrastructure to get the medication to the people that need them. I've seen reports of interviews with women who are AIDS patients who have to walk something like 12 hours to get to the clinic in order to be diagnosed and then treated.
Hard to imagine that, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It is so far.
We have a caller online.
Bernice,
yeah.
Do you see a similarity or a difference between abundance and
are you prosperity? Taking callers? Are you taking callers?
Certainly, if somebody wants to call in.
Yeah, well, there's
you
a call
mind
online.
Taking a call, do you?
Not at all.
Okay, there's one on the line. I'll put them right on. It'll take
all
a
right.
few seconds.
Are we waiting for the caller?
Yeah, she's putting
Hello,
her
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, dear.
Okay, fantastic. I was actually just calling in because I was fascinated with messages and wanted to find out if you had any messages for me.
Oh, are you talking about readings from Archangel Michael?
Yes.
Dear, that's with the next guest during the next hour. Could you be kind enough to call back then?
Oh, I absolutely will.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Well, Bernice, you know when you're going live, things don't always work out as you think.
That's the wonderfulness of synchronicity.
Indeed. I'm intrigued with the word abundance. I
yeah.
love the word abundance. And then this other word, prosperity. Do you see a difference between the two, or are they the same, or is one more spiritual and the other temporal? Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, I think it's the same thing. It's like if you looked at shoes, you have sneakers and you have loafers and you have high heels and
right.
hiking shoes. If they're just they all do the same thing. They protect your feet.
Right.
It just depends on the style that you're interested in pursuing. And that's one of the things that I found about the current wealth of information and knowledge that's available to us. There are so many different paths to the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And so with abundance and prosperity, they're just two different words for the same thing. It's almost like running on in this case, the path is a single path and it's a multi-lane highway.
Mm-hmm.
You can have physical abundance where you have goods and, you know, substances. You can have an abundance in spirituality. Part of the thing that I find needs to be worked on and dealt with is the fact that we still are dealing with this old consciousness state that in order to be spiritual, you have to be poor.
Yes,
and that's part of the suffer to serve
address.
And serve to suffer.
Let's talk a little about that one.
Yeah. I mean, this is what we're all coming out of, and it's absurd. And I love the work that's coming through that Lee Carroll is bringing through with the Kryon material, in which
mm-hmm.
he goes back to the reality that the belief systems are what give us the direction that we go in. And if we believe that you have to be poor in order to be spiritual, well, you better believe that you're never going to have anything.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentions that in the wandering in the desert after the Hebrews left Egypt, they were completely experiencing with absolute totality the universe providing for them. And we see this in you know, if you read Exodus, the manna from heaven that they walked in the desert and they found food to eat. This is a parable of the universe providing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And last night I saw a wonderful program. I'm watching reruns of Seventh Heaven, and in this particular episode, they were talking about the lost boys from the Sudan who had walked thousands of miles across the Sudan to Ethiopia and then back again. This was a well-known group of people, young children, literally walking thousands and thousands of miles across this country, and they ate leaves, whatever they could find. I mean, they trusted in the reality or the actuality that they would be found. They would be safe. They were walking away from war. And this is that same kind of trust in that the universe will provide. I don't think it means that you have to sit on a street corner with your hat in your hand waiting for the universe to provide for you, but so many people that I work with are bound up with this fear, the fear that they won't get what they want, or they don't dare ask for it because that's sinful, or they can't believe that they're worthy of being taken care of or being provided for. And so they restrict the inflow. It's amazing that what we do to ourselves in this belief system that, you know, we have to suffer in order to serve, and that you really, it's evil to have money.
Bernice, we're getting close to the hour, and something that it would be interesting if you could address this. I don't know if you've kept up with your astrology, if you're still working on that, but you told me that you were an astrologer, at least mm-hmm. working with the principles, and I'm wondering if you're still doing that, and if you are, do you see any patterns in the near future that would give us some insight to what might be on the horizon in world events?
Well, not really. I go into it on a periodic basis. I check the ephemeris and see what's going on, and I do follow the full moon cycles and that kind of thing, and the quarterly equinox and solstice points. And at that point, I will just do a drop-in check to mm-hmm. see what's on the horizon, if anything comes up and, you know, shakes its head and says, watch me. I haven't heard of anything particularly coming up. And if I do come across something in any of the email communications or the various websites and people that I, you know, track, I will, you know, I would automatically check it out and see what's going on. So I guess the answer to your question is no, I haven't seen anything on the horizon. Are you aware of something?
Well, no, there's just issues right now that I think is taking our attention. You were talking about the male dominance posturing,
mm-hmm.
You know, in different countries, and this mm-hmm. energy coming in that is feminine, that perhaps would soften this and be able to move more towards talking out our differences.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some things going on with energy in general and finances in particular. And I didn't know if perhaps you were aware of you know, some pattern that might be impacting some of these thoughts.
No, the only thing that I'm aware of or at least what I've been able to see, is that we are in a major cleanup period.
Mm-hmm.
We're cleaning up everything that we stuffed under the carpet at the end of World War II. So this is like basically everything up to and including World War I and World War II.
Like maybe the division of land and the Gaza Strip and Israel.
Everything.
And mm-hmm.
Everything. The breakup of Yugoslavia,
mm-hmm.
The breakup of the Soviet Empire, the need for all of the tribal nationality configurations to be dealt with and listened to, the reconciliation of all of the very difficult struggles that people have been going through all around the globe. And unless and until those struggles are addressed and people have a chance to really be healed from that, it's probably very difficult to anticipate that there would be any kind of peaceful situation. The other thing that I think is very important and that we have to keep in mind, and I'm anxious to hear the next segment of your interview, which is the Michael's messages.
Oh, yes, yes.
Michael is very important in my life, and Michael is very important with the UN as well. I think I shared with you my experience
you did,
with him.
And tell me about that UN connection, because I think that's interesting.
Well, practically, ever since I can remember, I've always been drawn to that kind of an environment of international communication and exchange. And a couple of years ago, I was asked if I would be, if I was willing to serve as a delegate to a non-governmental organization, an NGO. And I said, yes, I would. And I found myself back at the UN. And I say back at the UN because when I was a student in high school, I went to school on 42nd Street, which is just up the road from where the UN was built. When I was a student at Pratt Institute studying interior design and architecture, the first year there in our design course, we were taken to the still uncompleted UN building. And so I've always had this connection there. And when I went back to be the non-governmental delegate, it was really a very exciting moment. And I was also scheduled to give a lecture to an organization there, which is called SEAT, the Society for Enlightenment and Transformation. I had been invited to do a presentation on, at the time of the autumnal equinox, which was September 21st, 2001. So here's this major presentation that I'm working on for many, many months,
mm-hmm.
and 10 days after 9/11, I find myself in this heightened security situation and making a presentation to this society, which is basically a group of people who worked for the UN. And then immediately following that, I started a course in training in reconciliation leadership, and that was held also at the UN. I was studying with a woman by the name of Virginia Swain. One day as I was leaving the seminar that I was in, I had gotten into a cab, and we pulled up First Avenue right to where the park is. This is directly where the General Assembly building is, the big round building. And I looked over to my left, and I saw this statue of an individual carrying a sword, and I didn't see the horse, and I know that it's St. George and the Dragon, but immediately when I saw the sword and the person wielding the sword, I thought of Michael. But the thought entered my mind, why am I always back at the United Nations? And I'm just sitting in this car, and this thought goes through my mind, and I hear this communication come through. You're here because this is my home. This is your home. And I was immediately charged with this energy of peace, and I realized that it was Michael,
mm-hmm.
and that he was, in fact, since he is the Lord of Peace, that the UN actually is under his guidance
mm-hmm.
in terms of you know, if you have an archangel, that's the archangel, as opposed to Gabriel, who would be communication. So I just really had this, you know, this total emotional experience of Michael and his relationship to global peace, and how this instrument, regardless of what its problems are and how it has to be fixed and anything that it's done wrong, I think it is the primary force that has kept us from blowing each other up and destroying the planet. So I think it's very important to support the United Nations in any way that one can, to support the people, the non-governmental organizations who are on the ground running in the hot spots, wherever they are. And they're being, you know, they're being attacked now. Just in the past week, two sets of UN UNICEF workers have been attacked by they want to call them dissidents, terrorists, whatever. And I think that that is really a disaster when people who are giving their lives to heal and help people are being shot at and blown up and killed because of some, you know, moronic testosterone-flowing junkie. I really think it's pretty tragic. So
I think the energies that are coming forth now, Bernice, they are bringing up everything to heal, and we're starting to see some what we would say is dastardly deeds, and I believe these are coming forth to be healed also.
Yeah, it's sort of the last ditch effort, and you know, when someone is really struggling to maintain a hold and a control over a situation, they'll do anything at their, whatever their resources can give them to just keep the status quo. And I think that's what we're seeing. And eventually what's going to happen is the general population is just going to say, enough, you know.
I think so, too, but I don't know how long it's going to take for people to come to that conclusion.
Well, it happens at different in different times, at different rates, in different places, for different reasons. And you really don't know what's going to cause the reaction. That's what's so interesting to observe. If you take the observer position, you'll see where, I mean, it wasn't a government that took down the Berlin Wall. It was the people.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a government that overthrew or brought freedom to Poland. It was the people. And so in each of these instances, when the people have enough and they say enough, you know, then things change. And I know that, again, I hate to go back to 9/11, but one of my experiences was of that. We had gotten a preview of that when the giant Buddhas were destroyed by the Taliban.
I know, that was very
Nobody tough. Reacted to it because it was an artistic expression. And they were very similar. That was a duality. And then when 9/11 happened, I had been working with or was aware of an overlighting angelic presence that had to do with commerce, and it was focused at the World Trade Center. And that entity was very much present and I think was responsible for the, I'm not trying to diminish the number of lives that were lost, but the potential of hundreds of thousands of lives being lost as opposed to the 2,000, 3,000 that were actually
gone. Oh, it had
great
potential for loss, no doubt about it.
It's amazing, you know,
yes.
the kinds of miraculous events that took place. And I think they were definitely connected to this angelic presence that was there. But
there's
at the time,
a good chance of that.
Excuse me?
I said I do believe there was a good chance
yeah.
of that.
During that experience, as I sat and watched this, there was one of those inner connections, and it was, this type of behavior is no longer acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not going to be tolerated on the inner planes by those members of hierarchy who, you know, that they can't interfere, but the message is going out that this is no longer acceptable. And this is what people are, that's what's coming in on the underside of the energies. Whatever else is happening, that unacceptable behavior and the inhumane treatment of individuals to individuals, that's what's coming through on the feminine energy. And I think we'll begin to see that more and more.
I think so, too, and I think it's a wonderful thought to be ending our time together, Bernice, and perhaps as the last thing, why don't you give out the website again in case there are people who might be interested in learning more about the organization?
Certainly. It's address is www.actualism.org. So that's actualism.org.
Bernice, thank you for your world service. Thank you for being here with us. And until the next time.
Thank you.
Yes, yes. Good
and
talk
to you. And blessings
to you. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers again, and we are very enthusiastic and excited to bring our next guest, Mattia Michelson, who is another friend of Archangel Michael. And what the two of us are going to be discussing today is Archangel Michael's book, Earth History. And for those who are interested in hearing a little bit from the big guys themselves, we're willing to tune in and give you some thoughts. Good afternoon, Mattia.
Good afternoon, Carolyn.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm here.
Everything was okay. What we're going to be discussing today is a book that Archangel Michael had given to us, and it's called Earth History, Past, Present, and Future. And in the beginning of the book, of course, he talks about the past. And he mentioned something in the very beginning. He talks about the people who first came here were able to see into several dimensions. And something that I really felt connected to is he said that these people could hear the impulses as they came from God, and they could also trace them and connect them with their actions to be certain that they were perfectly aligned with God's intent for this planet. And that has such powerful imagery for me because I remembered a time when we came to this planet and we came down into the deeper levels of form. And as we are coming down into the human level of form is when we broke that connection. And I remembered that. I remembered that before Archangel had really given me this information. And remembering that connection to God, this impulse, and to suddenly have it cut, was a terrible grieving process for me. When I recall that, it probably took me about 3 days to work my way through that terrible sadness to the present level that I was today. And so that had great impact for me. I don't know if anybody else remembered that, but I can only say that in my humble heart, it was a great tragedy that that was broken. And so, Mattia, you have read the book. Was there some special part of the book that interested you more than others?
I was particularly interested in the beginning to start with, because as I do the readings with Archangel Michael, many of the people that are guided to these readings were actually people in Lemuria at that time who, because of their interaction with this warlike race that's described in this chapter, this is where their original fall occurred.
Maybe we ought to back up before we get into the readings. Maybe we ought to back up a little bit and just, for those who haven't read his words, explain how this warring group of people came to share our planet.
My understanding is that out of the goodness of our hearts, this race from another planet was superior technologically wise, and that they were on a course of self-destruction. So they allowed groups of these people to come to Earth. The Lemurians at the time extended this permission, and this warlike race was allowed to come to Earth because they felt that we were doing so good and had such control over the love aspect that we would be able to assist in the healing of this race. I don't think it was counted on the impact that their negativity and control issues would have on these wonderful beings of light at the time.
So, in a sense, just to explain this a little more completely, the Earth was created for those individuals of the light who were willing to serve others first and not so much serve themselves but serve others. And then this warlike group were into control and serving themselves, and they were the ones who were given permission to come later and join with the Lemurians. And so what you're saying, I kind of want to just give that little background so people could understand it from the point of view of the readings that you are giving now. And just to, maybe this would be a good time to explain the kind of readings that you give, Mattia, and then we'll talk about the Lemurians that Archangel Michael is commenting on. Would you like to just describe the kind of reading that you give for an individual?
The readings that I give are focused on a person's divine mission and the contracts that they have with the spiritual hierarchy on the progression of themselves and the Earth at this point in time. So this is not a reading to ask Archangel Michael about your love life or where to move. This is a reading that shows the work that you do on the inner planes, as well as what can manifest here on the physical. The work on the inner cannot take place by the masters and the angelic hosts unless they have a person in embodiment. So most people are not aware of the vastly important work that they came here to do. And this is allowing a connection to the hierarchy to come through and giving them an understanding that they're more than just this body that they see struggling here on Earth.
Okay, that now let's get back to some of the readings that you've been doing for individuals where they were Lemurians during this particular point in time, and certainly we're not asking for any names, but just the general information as to what Archangel is expressing about this group.
It appears that many of the people that are coming into my scope are people who are ready to go forward in ascension. And at times, these lifetimes are brought up because this energy is still holding them back on a subconscious or unconscious level. So most of these people have been, in that time in Lemuria, very high up in power, like part of the council. Some of them have this tremendously repressed guilt because they were on these councils and were the ones who made the decisions to let these beings come to Earth. So at this point, most of the readings that have the Lemurian aspect have been high council members or members of some organization that was instrumental in allowing this race to come.
Of course, something that we perhaps didn't mention or I didn't point out is that this group, this this group of warring people, they were actually in the midst of destroying their own planet through their own activities, and these souls needed a place to live, and that is why the Lemurians from that point in time were asked this question. You know, they were blowing up their home, so to speak. So it's interesting that you say this, Mattia, because guilt is an interesting thing, isn't it?
It seems to be the biggest factor within the unconscious mind that stops spiritual progress dead in its tracks.
I don't know if you have an opinion about this, Mattia.
Sure I do.
Need I ask? How does one wash away guilt, any kind of guilt that they might be holding on to? I'm not just talking about the Lemurians here. So give me your thoughts on how one would sweep away the guilt that's holding them back.
I'm going to let him answer this question. Guilt must be brought to the surface and be acknowledged. The violet flame can be of great assistance in transmuting and bringing up these unconscious patterns of guilt within the soul. Each individual on this planet carries this unconscious guilt, and this is an area that they refuse to look at. Many are advanced souls who are in positions of leadership that do not want to look at this unconscious guilt. The vehicle that Sananda or your Jesus has brought forth, A Course in Miracles, is one tool among many that will allow a person, with the assistance and with partnership, which is important because Sananda or Jesus is with you every step as you explore this unconscious guilt. For these memories are so horrendous within the being of man that he cannot acknowledge the separation from God and has taken many routes so as not to deal with this unconscious or inner fear of God. Most of the problems on this planet at this time are an outward projection of this unconscious guilt. And I would say that as you watch your news and look at your fellow man, see in them yourself, because this is what is happening within your mind and what you do not want to look at. Everything that happens in your world is a symbol of what is going on within the mind. That's all he says.
Well, that is amazing, because as we know, we don't really think about this, but we really know this. We do create with our minds. We create the activities in our daily lives, and we create the opportunities to draw events, people, blessings, whatever, into our lives. And this is first set up with the mind, something that we need to think about more. Well, that was beautiful. Thank you. Archangel, for giving us this thought. May I interject?
Hello?
Hello?
There was a caller, but for some reason they hung up. I apologize for that.
It's okay. This is live. We go through these things.
Well, I have a question for you. That was one of the most profound statements I've heard, and that is that everything we see is a reflection of our own fears, of our fear of God. So everything on the outside is that, that's kind of paraphrasing what you were saying. All our fears are laid before us.
That's correct, and these are lessons that he has been teaching me and preparing me, which I didn't understand all the years of preparation until I actually got in the Course in Miracles for the second time.
Yes, I read that book, underlined it, and went through them all except for the final worksheet booklet. So I am familiar with it at length, and I loved it. It was a path that if I didn't have family, you know, kids and everything else, I would follow A Course in Miracles to the end of the road. For some reason, it's just the path. I couldn't totally, because A Course in Miracles is hardcore, and it radically asks you to use various techniques in your life to show you that what you really are seeing is not reality. And it's intense. It's too intense for my life.
I suspect that Jesus was probably hardcore.
I got to tell you, that Course in Miracles, if anybody, I mean, I can see how it works, because it's a mind bend. It basically turns your whole mind inside out, because you're already, really, that's what it takes. But it's incredible. You know, I love Carolyn Ever's show. And I love stating that on the radio here, because Carolyn is a lady. When she speaks, it just always rings with me so wonderfully.
Thank you.
Yeah, you just the way what you say and how you say it just rings true with me. And I love you, Carolyn. I love you.
You know, Seth, what a wonderful Mother's Day present.
Well, we have a caller.
We do?
Yeah, I'll put them on the line right away.
Okay.
And sorry to take up your time. I just love you.
Oh, thank you. No, we love hearing your opinion. Apparently, they had a lot of steps to come up before they got to the microphone.
Yeah, that's true, and I agree with him.
Oh, they're online.
I love you too, Carolyn.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. And you know I love you.
The guest is online.
Has the caller gotten up to the mic yet?
Yes, yes. I think so.
What? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I was just calling in to see if there was any messages for me.
Did you want Archangel to address that, or Carolyn to address that?
Well, I think she wanted Archangel to address it.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, bear with me a second while I tune in.
Okay, no problem.
At this point in time, your life is fraught with many obstacles. You are constantly looking without yourself into the world to find happiness and understanding. This can be rectified by looking within more and understanding that the nature of man is to always look outside self for what is contained within. Your purpose for being here on the earth is one of importance. You have a soul group that resides in the 11th dimension, and you are connected to this group.
Okay.
This group uses your body to assist in the grounding of the grid system on the planet Earth. The grid system is important because it holds all life together here in your world. This work is facilitated by the Ascended Master Saint Germain and Lady Portia, as part of your being is got much attainment on the seventh ray and the violet flame. So we would suggest that you work with the violet flame a little bit more and understand that the life that you see here on the physical is only a minute part of the vastness of the wonderful being that you truly are. See yourself with the eyes that God sees you with, for you are truly an aspect of the divine, and we would have you step out more into the world and understand that you carry with you the gift of love. And as you walk through your life, people see this love in your heart, and they are opened by this love vibration that you carry.
caller, I would just like to say that what you've heard from Mattia right now might be enough for an answer of what you're searching for. If you wanted something more complete, you can always go to her website and get a more complete message. So I thought what she had passed to you was indeed very beautiful.
It was very, very beautiful.
Yes.
And it was very enlightening. And I really, really have to thank her.
Yes.
I think she just wants you to understand that you're so much more than what you see when you look in the mirror.
Yeah, and I think that is one of the biggest things is, you know, is seeing my gifts.
Couldn't hear you. One of the what?
Seeing my gifts and seeing what I actually am here to do.
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's all for now, caller. And we're glad that you received such a beautiful compliment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Now, I just love hearing from Archangel Michael. He has a specific tone in the way he talks to people. To me, his information is just so unmistakable. When I do readings for people, I might not work with Archangel Michael, but it might be somebody who is on the other side or someone from a past lifetime. I just never know who might come through for an individual. So I have to say, I kind of like a little quiet first before I get my information out. So I have to hand it to you, Mattia. Bless you, darling. This is hard to do this on the radio like this. So, you know, I compliment you, too.
Well,
but
I'll give you a hard one.
You are his representative, aren't you?
I'll give you a hard one if I can. May I interject one more time?
Sure.
All right. Because Archangel, again, as you say, is a favorite. If Archangel Michael was to give just one sentence from his repertoire of vast words and knowledge, and he wanted everybody to hear that one sentence, what would that be?
Acknowledge the divine aspect that is within you and see your magnificence.
I love it. It's exactly what I would expect.
I was going to just add to that, love and accept yourself as God loves and accept you.
Yeah, that seems to be our hardest task, is doing that.
That's what was coming through in my mind and heart when you were saying that. And I really do think that is perhaps one of the hardest things for us to do, is to accept us and love ourselves. It is so easy for us to forgive someone else and be compassionate for someone else, but yet if we've done something that's a little bit gauche, or we don't appear to others as we want for ourselves to appear, we have a very difficult time forgiving our own hearts.
I agree. In fact, I think that if you can't forgive yourself, it's even difficult to even know whether you're really forgiving somebody else.
I can give you Archangel Michael's answer to that.
Okay.
I said I can give you Archangel Michael's answer to that, because this is the lesson I've been learning for the past 3 weeks.
I would love that.
Whenever I get negative, just like Carolyn was saying, it's easy to love others. It's easy to do for others. But now when a negative thought or I make a mistake comes into my mind, I hear the words, I do not attack the Son of God. So, you know, it got to the point where I don't want to say that anymore or hear that anymore, so I kind of got my act together a little bit better. But this is his answer to our own personal criticism. We are the Son of God, and we do not attack the Son of God.
Did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Oh,
I think he's off
the line. Oh, no, I love it. I love every word. So I'm going to let you two finish up. But, wow, you know, one day I would love to sit back and have a conversation with you for a few hours, maybe a bunch of us. You know, yourself, Caroline Evers.
Why don't we organize that on one of these shows?
Oh, just to have like five or six of you, you know, that people that work with my Archangel Michael in depth, that would just be so interesting, without a doubt.
Well, we're willing.
Okay, well, maybe in the future, folks, maybe we can come up with something like that, because we could definitely put a five or six
people. Well, now that we've
got
a two-hour slot here, you see, we could, and we've got this two-hour slot every other week,
yes.
We have the time now. When you've got 1 hour, it just flips away so quickly, so maybe we could do a group thing on one of the two-hour shows.
I would love that.
Well, Matthias, I think we have kind of, you know, finished with that first chapter, and I'm not sure that I thought I asked you what part of the book that you liked, and you said that you were fascinated with the fact that we had made room for people on this earth who didn't think exactly like us.
Yeah, that struck me very close to home, because the information had already started coming through in a few of the readings when I got my book, because as you'll recall, it took quite a long time to come.
I don't know why that happened. I'm sure there was a reason.
Well, I think part of it was by the time the book got here, I had already gotten the information about this warlike race, so the book was a confirmation for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I like is the hologram chapter.
The hologram chapter.
It's in the appendix. Appendix
A. Okay.
It's
I didn't remember a chapter on the hologram.
Yeah, I apologize. It's an appendix.
Oh, okay.
It's called Changing the Hologram on page 75.
Why don't you go into that, since that has an appeal to you? And yes, everything. There's so many things in this book that you could really study and work with. How about you getting into that and discussing it?
Well, actually, as I went through the book, Michael had me outline, like, yeah, so he had me outline a few things that he felt were very pertinent. The paragraph that says strands connecting the two parts of the brain are being rewired to better allow impulses coming from the spiritual realms. He explained that this is something that every life stream on Earth is having done to them at this point in time. There are those who can handle more light and more rewiring, and then there are those, for example, in third world countries that have little awareness or knowledge of spiritual matters, but these also are being rewired so that as energy comes their way, they will be able to recognize it. So I like that part because early in the year, I had a lot of ascension symptoms and not necessarily headaches.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, but things that people attribute to colds or flu or other things are just this cleansing process and this rewiring process.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to interject something into that. This rewiring and connecting the right side of the brain to the left side of the brain, because I always like to think of science. I mean, science is one of the first things that comes into my mind. And so these are threads that are going over the third eye. Most of us know that area is the third eye, but it's the corpus callosum in the front of the brain. And this was, as I understand it, divided back in the time of Atlantis. And so the things that come in from the spiritual side have to arc over to the reasoning side, and that was done for a purpose because we had become, the Atlanteans were not using spiritual information in the best possible way. And now we have come full term. And so this is part of the rewiring. These threads are being laid down so that we will have more control of the spiritual information going to our reasoning side of our brain. It's, to me, it is just so beautiful in the sense that we are being healed, we are being made more whole. Our DNA is clicking on, and it reminds me of the information that I send out with the book of information that Pope John Paul gave us. And you got the book and read that, and I don't know if you recall, Mattia, that the Russians had actually found scientific data supporting the fact that there is such a thing as the third eye. It was in Pravda newspaper, which I just find so fascinating. Do you remember that?
I don't remember the details of the article, but I do remember being fascinated by the fact that here we have Russia confirming this, and our country was absolutely silent on the subject or not brought into an awareness where we all had access to it.
Well, that's true. We're kind of behind in that area, aren't we?
Yeah, that's why it stuck out in my mind. But the whole book, Viva Papa, was life-changing for me.
I know you said that, and that just thrills my heart to hear that when people enjoy and learn and grow from something that we've been able to bring forth. And thank you for mentioning that. I'm surprised we don't have another caller on the phone with a beautiful message that you just gave out.
Maybe they're scared.
You scared them? No, you would never scare anybody.
Well, one thing about the readings that I do is people are not necessarily ready for this level of information.
Mm-hmm.
And once you ask and you get this information, you're somewhat responsible at that point, and many of us are turning away from responsibility this day and age.
He doesn't hold back, does he?
Nope. Welcome to my world.
Yeah, he sort of gives you a little archangel kick down then.
Yeah, he's very strongly here, and sometimes when you open the mouth, out comes his words, not necessarily mine.
Moving along to another part of his book, Earth History, he talks about memory, how memory starts the use of gifts that have lain dormant in the soul. And I think that this is another reason why so many of us are starting to remember events that maybe are in our own distant past in this lifetime and from other lifetimes. And he made a statement here, another part of memory is to reunite again with love. I love that. Another part of memory is to reunite again with love. And so we and the world, in many instances, have been divided from love. And it is so good to know that it is coming back and we can be reunited again, accepted again, to accept ourselves along with others and to accept our God and know that we can reach God within our own heart. So there's some beautiful statements in here. You've got the book in front of you, Mattia. Any statement in there that perhaps jumps out at you?
Let's see. Again, he's in the hologram chapter. And
okay.
I haven't got the word to move out yet, so he obviously has a point.
Okay.
And the line in the book says, "You have been creating events in your own lifetime since you inhabited the earth, even though at times you were unaware of the process." I think this gets back to what we were speaking of earlier on the thought. Many times he tells me the thoughts you think today are creating your world of tomorrow, so what is it you're thinking about? And I don't know about the rest of the world, but my mind wanders a lot, and retraining this mind and getting it focused on positive things is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to work on.
You know, this, I was just thinking about what you were saying, Mattia, and...
We have one more caller online. Would you like me to put him through?
Sure.
You got it.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Wow, I can barely hear you guys. Can you
speak
hear me?
Speak up a little bit.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can't... For some reason,
if I can hear you. Mattia, can you hear her?
She's a little faint, but I can hear her if she speaks up a little bit. Okay. Well, I was just calling to say I agree with everything that you're sharing with the world, and I just actually found this BBS radio, and I work very closely with Lord Michael.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
Yeah, and I was just wondering if, you know, I've been working trying to find what my healing work is, and so I was wondering if I might be able to, you might be able to talk to Michael and see if...
Would you just rephrase that sentence a little? I want you to be more specific in your question. You have a healing work that you, is this something that you're doing or you want to do?
Right, that I'm trying, I want to do, and I guess I'm not really sure what direction to go.
Okay, you feel called to participate in healing of some sort.
Yes.
And you're not quite sure which way you should focus yourself. Is that the question?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, as you were talking, I got a very great leap in my heart.
Aw.
He's saying you have a vast love for humanity, and this is the way you want to express it. But don't confuse healing on the physical, because all healing begins in the mind. So explore within yourself those things that hold you back, and as you grow and understand these things, you will be able to teach and impart to others the road that you have taken. And he also is focusing on these subconscious memories. These are of vast importance that the children of light clear these subconscious memories and programming. So look around at your world and say, what is me and what is the world? What have I accepted that is not me? I feel like he wants you to get a sense of the divine being within, and then as you begin to heal your mind, you will be able to extend this love, because it is a tremendous love that you have in your heart that is just, it's almost like I see a flower. It's just this flower wants to burst out of you and take fruit, but he says that now is the time to water the seeds and learn and grow and then give this experience to others, and when you start working with them and healing their minds, then their bodies will follow.
I think you have an ability with healing relationships. Have you worked with this in the past?
I have a degree in child psychology, child development,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't really worked in that field. I did. I used to run a children's theater, and I worked a lot with children's drama and theater.
You might have worked with drama and theater and working with these individuals, but you were doing so much more than just that. These children were learning how to cooperate with one another. There is so much needed there in the way of how our relationships with one another, and these little ones need to be taught that. Sometimes, and it they don't always get it at home. I think you were a much bigger mentor along this line than what you really thought you were. You weren't there just teaching, teaching people how to perform.
Right, absolutely. I mean, it definitely developed their self-confidence and
mm-hmm.
ability to work with each other, and I mean, it was very rewarding.
So I just wanted to address that word healing. When we think of a healer, the first thing that comes into mind is that there is some element that needs to be healed in the body. And so many times we think of, well, which way should we go to help people heal their bodies? But there's so many different levels of healing.
Absolutely.
And you have this knowledge that you have gathered. You already have experience along this field. So tell me, why did you stop working in this area? Was there a reason?
I moved, and and I just got into a different area of.
So you had an interruption in your life, and you weren't able to get back into organizing something again, or maybe the area where you're living now is not open to that?
It could be. I mean, I'm in Denver. There's a lot. I mean, it's a great city.
Do you have access to schools? The children in schools?
I mean, I do, I guess.
Well, I didn't know if you had children who were going to school, if you had relatives, if you were part of the PTA.
No.
You have a natural gift to be working with children.
Right, and I keep receiving that, and I think I'm
mm-hmm.
just, you know, I'm working for a Fortune 500 company now, and I guess I'm trying to find how I can do those two things together, and maybe it's through volunteer work.
Nothing is impossible. You know, you're working at a job that is supporting you and giving you the income that you need, and you definitely need that right now, but there's a part of your soul that is searching to be of service, and you could fulfill that aspect of service in a volunteer area. And that may lead into other things, but you're definitely searching, and I see this part of your soul that really wants to offer that part of yourself that is love. And you have this gift of working with little children. And if you don't know which way to go with that, I think we kind of have pinpointed an area that you could gravitate to. And what I might suggest that you do is take a pad of paper with a pencil, put it next to your desk or your bedstand, and when you go to bed at night, as you're drifting off to sleep, ask your higher mind to show you what opportunity might open up for you to work in this field. And then, see, the dreams, when the front door of consciousness is closed, the back door of inspiration and sleep opens up. This is the way sometimes our guides work with us. And
I
think if you do this, you'll come up with some suggestions and write them down on the pad as to what direction you need to go to. So for now, I think working with your regular job is marvelous, and if you have the inclination and the time to volunteer in some fashion with little children, I think it would feed your soul.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the difference between the practical information of someone like Carolyn and the lofty information that tends to come through Michael. Although he is very practical, but I felt like Carolyn's response was what you needed to hear.
Good. Great. Thank you so much. Bless you, ladies.
Bless
you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Medea, it's why I just love working with you, sweetheart, because we come to this place of work, each from a different perspective, and it works very well together, doesn't it?
Yeah, because I knew as it was coming through that something wasn't, she was looking for something else, and you picked right up on that, so
mm-hmm.
good.
Yeah, that was good. Now, I could see...
I was just wondering, we're closing up.
We need to close up?
Yeah, we're at the end of the hour.
Well, isn't that a pity? What we'll have to do is we'll just have to come back and do this again because we've hardly scratched the surface. You willing to come back, Mattia?
Oh, yes, most heartily.
Love you, dear.
I love you. Bye-bye.
And to everyone in the audience, we love you, too. Tune in again where we will meet the next time and touch one another. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.